Hello, gym owners, fitness, business, community. It's me, Corey Sterling. I'm a fitness lawyer, and if you're looking under the tree, this could be the gift that you find, which are the legal essentials that all fitness professionals need to be aware of. I guess, sure, going into the holiday season, and also as we prepare for 2021. So a little bit about me and my law firm. I started a law firm called Conscious Counsel. And we really specialize in working with fitness professionals who operate both online and in person. And 99% of our clients are fitness professionals of one sort or the other. And the reason why we did this is like, we really zoned in on fitness professionals. So we understand their business. We understand exactly what they need. And today I just want to give you sort of the Christmas, my Christmas top three. What are the top three things as fitness business professionals that we need to be thinking about as we enter 2021, and maybe we get lucky under the mistletoe, who knows, legally lucky? Yeah, that works, I'm into that. So the first thing that I just wanna talk about, and this is the document that we draft the most of at our firm, is a waiver of liability or a release of liability. And this is a really, really important document for fitness professionals to have in line, because it determines whether or not someone will be able to bring a legal action against you. So typically how it works in fitness is someone is coming to do an activity with you, and before they do the activity, you can get them to sign a Part Q or an intake form or some form of document where you let them know what activities you're going to be doing with them and what the risks of those activities and what the outcomes of the risks are. And then they sign it. And part of them signing it is they agree that they will not hold you legally responsible for anything that happens while they are either performing an activity with you in person or online. So that's the waiver. The waiver's just like, woof, legal responsibility, as long as you don't do something like awful and egregious on purpose, a waiver of liability will hold up and will be able to protect you and you and your business and the assets of your business, most importantly as well, from legal liability. So what we've seen at our firm in working with hundreds of fitness professionals all over the world, and we've got clients in Australia, United States, Canada, the Netherlands, the United Kingdom, Singapore, and Japan. That's 8 countries. And first time I've ever counted, by the way. It's not like I was like, yeah, I'm going to do the 8 country thing. It was more like, oh. It happens to be 8, which is cool. And the biggest misconception that we see is that either clients are using, A, they've copied a waiver of liability from someone else or another business and they think that it's going to work for them, or they're using an older waiver of liability which doesn't cover the way that they currently are offering their business or how they may offer their business in the future. Why does this matter? The extent to which a waiver of liability will be upheld and will work is to the extent that it is clearly drafted and that it specifically addresses the activities that you do in your business with your clients. So that's really important, because this document needs to be tailored towards you and your business. And if it's not, then someone can say, oh, well, you know what? I'll give everyone an example. Let's say we do kettlebell swings, and kettlebells are not included as an equipment on the waiver of liability. And you know, the waiver of liability is more just for like a HIIT class, and it doesn't list any equipment. So someone comes into the studio or works out with you and signs the waiver of liability that doesn't mention anything about kettlebells or kettlebell swings or anything like that. It just says, hey, you know, we do cardiovascular exercise and we do high interval intensity training. We don't list the equipment, nothing like that. Someone gets hurt with a kettlebell swing. What that person could say is like, hey, before I started working out with this gym or with this personal trainer, I read through the waiver. I did my job. I read through that waiver. And what I saw was that, okay, a high intensity interval training was included and stretching was included and body weight exercises were included, but didn't say anything about kettlebell swing. And let's say that person does a kettlebell swing and completely throws their back out and is not able to work for 3 weeks or a month or something, and they're like, hey, not only do I want my money back from this, but like, I'm not able to go to work because I'm injured, and you know, your gym is responsible for, you know, for the lost wages or something of that degree. I have seen, just, you know, I've seen way crazier things than that. You're probably thinking like, oh, this guy's just, talking about kettlebell swings, and it would never happen. I've seen some crazy, crazy, crazy things. But I just share this story because if your waiver included kettlebell swings as the equipment, and it also included, weight resistance exercises or exercises with weights, that person, that story's over. They've released liability because you've told them clearly and upfront what you're doing, how you're doing it, where you're doing it, what the risks are, what the outcomes are, and all of those things. And like, just to add a little twist to it as well, now you're offering the services online. So, okay, you're not able to watch their form as well as you could have before, or they're watching a video on demand where you're not able to give any real-time feedback, and you just want to make sure that this waiver of liability, which basically protects you and your assets, you want to make sure that it's finally drafted and that it's tailored to you and your business. So that's the first thing I want to talk about. The second thing I want to talk about is updated service agreements. So it could be called a service agreement, it could be called a training agreement, it could be called a membership agreement. It sort of depends on the way that you run your business. But we've been doing a lot of adaptations for these agreements because why have we been adapting service, client, coaching, membership agreements? The way that we teach law to our clients and the way that I've practically been able to apply law for fitness professionals is thinking about the law as a series of relationships. And in each relationship, you want to have a document that communicates your expectations openly and honestly. So I'll just repeat that. This is like my whole approach to law and our firm's approach. Law is a series of relationships, and you want to make sure that you are communicating the expectations of that particular relationship openly and honestly. So why do we need to revamp our service agreements or revisit them? It's obvious. The way that we are providing our services have changed. Everything's changed about the relationships that we have with our clients. Nothing's really the same as it was before. Now it's maybe sometimes in person, sometimes online. Maybe it's on Zoom, sometimes we cancel. What happens with refunds? What happens with guarantees? What happens if someone's not satisfied? Whatever it is, you just have to accept that you have different relationships with your clients now than you ever had before. So what can you do to make sure that your documents are reflecting that? And another thing I can tell you from doing this for 4 years and working with hundreds of clients is that the majority of the legal issues that come up arise out of some misalignment in expectations. Some misalignment in expectations between the service provider and whoever is participating in the services. So my whole approach to like everything that I've ever done for law, and I'm a super practical lawyer, everything that I write is in plain English, and like the rule at our firm is like, if you write it and a 7-year-old cannot understand it, change it, because we want to communicate clearly with everyone who we work with, and we want our clients to communicate clearly. And if you're starting a new type of working relationship, or you've changed the way you offer your services, or you're taking payments a different way than you did before, write it. Tell people like, hey, before we start working together, this is actually what our relationship is going to look like, and this is actually what's going to happen in the relationship, and what you can expect from us and our process for working together, and then as well, what we can expect from you and how we're going to ask you to show up in working together. And not only will this help protect you legally, but this will also be, such an important piece to ensure that you have a great relationship. And like, if you invest in a document or a package of documents, but that gives you great relationships with all the people that you work with for years and years and years. So it's something that's really, really important. When you look at the quality of your business and the quality of customer experience, is like, how good are you communicating with them? What should be done? So that's the service agreement. We've gone over the waiver. We've gone over the service agreement. The third legal nugget for the holiday season that I'm so happy to share with everyone is just revisiting our privacy policies and our terms and conditions for our website and our disclaimers, because most of what we're doing is now online. It used to be that our website was the place where we'd go where like maybe we'd link our schedule, or we'd have a description of classes and photos of our instructors, and a little bit about who our business is and what we do. But you have to remember that now everything's changed. So like now your website is your business card and your cash register checkout at the same time, or a link to the cash register checkout, which it really wasn't like that before. And so a privacy policy is just a compliance rule of Australia. The government of Australia says, hey, if you're collecting anyone's personal information, then you have to go to particular lengths to ensure that you are letting people know how you use that information. The terms and conditions are basically the board game rules for your website. So now a lot more people are visiting your website. Your intellectual property is up there. Your copyright is up there. You're selling products through your website. And you want to make sure that in the event that there's an issue of either someone copying something that you've posted or written on your website, if someone's purchasing something, either, you know, purchasing a good through the website, are there rules that in the event that there's a misunderstanding or someone's not satisfied or they want a refund or they want to cancel, whatever it is, do we have specific rules around that to say like, hey, well, you know, I'm really happy you visited our website and you purchased, you know, this water bottle through our business or you clicked to a third party affiliate. These are the rules that were posted on the website before you made the purchase, and as such, those are the rules that apply for this particular transaction. So that's the privacy policy, the terms and conditions. Remember, the reason why it matters more now than it did before is because more and more people are using websites than they were before, and also the way that we use websites is different. And the last thing are having disclaimers. So a disclaimer basically means like, hey, I'm sharing this information or I'm posting this video either on social media. We call it a disclaimer and a social media disclaimer. And what it does is it covers you for all the unilateral relationships that you have online. So if you do an Instagram Live or you're doing a Facebook Live and you don't know who's watching, you still have to make sure that you are facilitating those experiences, those fitness experiences and activities, like at a requisite professional level. And if you do something reckless and someone were to get hurt and you don't have a signed waiver of liability, you're the next best thing that you can get for someone who you don't know is going to be observing and participating in your activities is a disclaimer. So that applies both to your social media and anything that you're doing online. And it also pertains to any information that you share, like, you know, 7 tips to stop eating carbohydrates. Are you a nutritionist? Why are you allowed to tell me that? Or, you know, get Bondi Beach biceps in 6 days. Like, okay, what qualifications do you have to share that with me? And if I'm relying on different things that you're telling me to do, and then there are issues as a result of that, like, you're responsible. So a disclaimer basically states your qualifications, how you're qualified to share that information, that you don't make any guarantees, that you don't make any promises. If you use testimonials, you have to put a disclaimer around that. So the disclaimer like fits under the content on your website as well as some of your social media stuff. And that's it. So I hope this is the merriest of the Merry Christmases that we have. I wish everyone super, super happy holidays. And just a reminder to sum up, the 3 things we spoke about was, 1 was a waiver of liability. The 2nd was a service agreement. And the third was a privacy policy, terms, conditions, and online disclaimers and social media disclaimers. So if there's anything that we can do at Conscious Counsel to help out, please feel free to reach out to us. We've got a bunch of clients in Australia and we're here to support you and make this time of year jolly. And like what's jollier than legal services, right? Like making sure that your business is protected and you feel confident in your relationships is such an important part of drinking eggnog and enjoying the surf club with friends. So sending all of my love, have a great time down under, and please reach out if you need anything from us. We're here to support.